Our speaker today is Dr. Brian Bittaker. He is the Director of Spiritual Formation here at the seminary. He's also Adjunct Professor of Educational Ministries and Leadership. Brian earned his Master of Theology degree from DTS in 2013 and his Doctor of Ministry degree in Spiritual Formation also from DTS in 2019. Brian grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. He is married to his high school sweetheart, Betsy, and Betsy is here today. Wave, and we will welcome you appropriately. Thank you, Betsy, for being here. They have two children, Katie, who currently attends the University of Arkansas, and Kyle, who is currently in high school in Allen. They attend Chase Oaks Church in Plano, Texas. The highlights of Brian's time here at DTS include the close community and fellowship he's experienced on the spiritual formation team, and several close relationships with professors. He enjoys spending time with his family, eating Tex-Mex and Texas barbecue, watching college baseball. I wonder why. Brian played college baseball. And hanging out with students over a good cup of coffee from Hope. So would you join me in welcoming our speaker, Dr. Brian Bittaker, to our chapel today, Brian?
Good morning. Wow, can you believe that summer is almost over? I feel like it never got here. It's been pretty busy and overwhelming, as I know it has for many of you. I came to DTS in the fall of 2006. I came for several reasons. One, I wanted to get to know Jesus Christ better. Two, I wanted to get to know the Word better. And I'm thankful to say both of those things happened. As you all know, DTS is focused on the Word and it's focused on Jesus Christ. But God had a third reason for me to come to DTS, something that I didn't see coming. It happened one day when I was leaving the library and walking across the old parking lot between the library and Todd. And I saw him coming out of the building. It took me a whole semester to get the courage to talk to this man. But I went. So I walked in the parking lot. I was looking down, looking away, trying to avoid making eye contact, much more conversation. But I couldn't help it. We practically ran into each other. We greeted one another, introduced myself, and I said something like, "Hey, you don't know me from Adam, but my name is, I forgot my name." Now, I'm pretty sure it's Brian. I said, "My name is Brian, and I heard you preach a message several years ago that has literally changed my life." And from that point on, then I got the courage before he left to tell him, "Could I come by and meet with you?" You know, I often tell some of the spiritual formation students, one of the things you need to do here at DTS is get to know your profs. You're going to connect with one or two, go meet them, get to know them, spend time with them. It took me a whole semester to do that. I was really insecure. I was really felt very insignificant here and very intimidated as well. I know none of you would have those feelings, of course. But if you do, you come talk to me, you come talk to Bax, you come talk to anybody in student life because you're not alone. What I learned from my mentor is that we're all insecure. I mean, how could we not be in this world, right? So we started meeting and I went back and I went back and I went back. And I've been going back for 14 years, and I've really developed a close relationship with this man. And it's so funny because every time we talk, literally, we go back to this message that he shared years ago, and we just talk about it. We can't get away from it. It has literally changed my life, and I know it's changed his. So that's what I want to share with you today, just this truth that we focus on whenever we meet together. And it's out of Philippians chapter 2. So if you would turn there. I believe that this passage reveals the central truth of Christlikeness. We see a lot in the Gospels about who Jesus is, what he was like, how he lived. But this passage, I believe, really shows us and reveals to us the central truth of what it means to be like Christ. In his wonderful book, God with Us, our own Glenn Kreider writes, "Humility does not come naturally or easily to us." He goes on to share a quote by Gerald McDermott. "It is difficult for me to write about humility. I feel as if I'm describing a beautiful foreign country that I have never visited. I've seen it in pictures and even in the faces of people from that land, and I long to go there, but it remains foreign to me, essentially unknown." Kreider continues, "But go there we must. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Kreider's exactly right. We must go there because humility is what defines our triune God. And I hope to share a little bit about that today. So Philippians 2. As you know, Paul wrote this to the believers at this Roman colony in Philippi in order to exhort them to what? To unity. Apparently they had some conflict in the church. Something all of us can relate to, amen? It was surrounded by this culture consumed with honor and shame, consumed with status and ambition, consumed with who was the greatest. I don't know about you, but I've wrestled with these same things, especially coming to DTS, right? I came here because I wanted to be a success. I struggled with significance. I came here because I wanted my life to count for something. And this place has really changed me, and particularly the people here who have changed me. So Paul goes on, he shares this beautiful hymn to teach that unity can only be achieved through Christ-like humility. And then he gives us this beautiful hymn that the early church would sing to keep themselves on target. I would love for Patrick someday or someone to write a song based on these words. It may already exist, I don't know, but if it does, please tell me. But those of you who can write songs, please write a song on this hymn. Verse 3, let's jump in. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or from vain conceit, but in humility consider others, regard others, think about others." It's an attitude of your mind. "Consider them as more important than yourselves. Consider them to be better than yourselves. Not paying attention to your own interests, but the interests of others as well." So don't just think about yourself. Think about other people. What do they need? And then verse 5, I think, is the hinge of the passage. "You must have this attitude in and among yourselves, in your relationships, that Christ Jesus had." So my question is, what is this attitude? We've talked about it. He hits on it in verse 3. It is humility of mind, right? This attitude of humility of mind. So what is humility? I grew up thinking it's just someone who sits quietly in the corner and does nothing. Not at all, right? Not at all. Humility is not being timid. It's not being passive. I've struggled this my whole life. It's probably why I can't get out of this passage. It's probably why I continue and go and meet with my mentor, because I can't get the message. But humility is not being passive, it's being active. It is being aggressive for God. Humility is aggression for God. And you see this in the life of Jesus Christ, amen? Humility, as seen in the life of Christ, is a God-centeredness rather than self-centeredness. Humility is aggression for God rather than self, which is pride. And that's the message that I just cannot get away from. Verse 6. So we've seen the proper attitude, humility of mind. Verse 6, we see the supreme example of what this looks like, and that's the incarnation. "Who, although or because he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or held onto or used for his own advantage." Imagine that. The one who has it all and could do anything and everything, he did not use that for his own selfish motives. That's the answer to life. That's what God is like. He doesn't use his power and position and prestige to put others down. Instead, he gives. Verse 7, "But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by coming in the likeness of people and by being found in outward appearance as a man. Michael Gorman has done a lot of work on Philippians, especially chapter 2. He argues for this participle for all you Greek students, the participle being. Most of the time it's translated, although he was in the form of God. Quite possibly it could be because he was in the form of God. This is so significant. Jesus emptied and humbled himself because he was the true form of God. This is what God does. Isn't that beautiful? God did not empty himself of his divinity. Christ did not empty himself of his divinity or of anything else. Rather, he exercised his divinity. Because he is God, he does this. This is what divinity is all about. Look, Paul says, and see what God is really like. That's what this hymn shows us. It shows us what our triune God is really like. He's not grasping. He's not trying to be first. He's not trying to win. What is he doing? He's giving himself away in self-giving love and humility. He gives, he gives, he gives. He serves others above himself. We see this in the Trinity, serving one another. We are most like God when we are self-emptying, self-humbling, and self-giving. Verse 8, he not only emptied himself, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. At some point, you guys, seminary students love short books, am I right? Amen. 99 pages, that includes the bibliography and the index. So it's less than that. It's a little book called Crucifixion by Martin Hengel. An amazing survey of just the history of crucifixion. How terrible it was. Romans wouldn't even use the word cross. They wouldn't even say that word because of how terrible it was. Crucifixion was indeed the ultimate form of shame and dishonor. The most dishonorable experience imaginable, writes Joseph Hellerman. So we've seen the proper attitude, this idea of humility. We've seen the supreme example, Jesus Christ and his incarnation. And now we see in verse 9 through 11 the guaranteed result, exaltation. In God's time, in God's way, and it may not be in this life. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the law of biblical significance. When you give yourself away in self-giving love and humility to other people, you honor God. You're being like God. You're being most like Christ. That's the whole goal of spiritual formation, to become Christ-like. What is Christ-likeness? It's humility. You're aggressive for God and not yourself. We see this in the rest of Philippians chapter 2, the example of Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is a hero. I've yet to hear a sermon on Epaphroditus. I'm proud to say we also see this humility here at DTS. So let's take a moment to honor some people. Many of you I see here today. How about our facilities team? Cheyenne, Daniel, Marcelo, Wes, Foster, John, Stephen. How many boxes have Foster, John, and Stephen moved this summer? For all of us. Courtney, who oversees all the events. Glenn himself, the director of facilities. I've seen him carrying boxes with Foster, John, and Steve. How about our administrative assistants? Laura Rose, Anna Luce, Grace, Lauren, Jesse, Catherine. These are just some that I work with. How about Stephanie Reynolds? Her last day is this Friday. Stephanie is training 3 new staff members. I think she's required to just train one. Yeah. Amen? But she's training Anna Luce for SF. She's training Jennifer to help with backs. She goes out of her way to do things for us when we don't even ask. And then she comes and tells me, I finished that, by the way. And I didn't even ask her to do it. How about our professors? I can't tell you how many times I've walked by Dorian's office and seen her meeting with a student. How about Joy Baker? How many women have been influenced and mentored by her life? Andy and Gail Seidel, they're not on the Dallas campus anymore, but they're one of the main reasons I'm here today, and many of us in internships, spiritual formation, the Hendricks Center. Greg Hatterberg, who hasn't been touched by his infectious smile, kindness, and service? How about George Hillman? Yes. Anytime I've asked for help, he responds almost immediately by text. I don't think he likes to use email. He's one of our biggest fans, all of us. I get to serve with two students, Caitlin and Jake. Caitlin has given herself to Vickery Meadows to serve the people there. Jake last year has served a student who needed personal care, helped him almost on a daily basis. I've got to wrap it up, but finally, the greatest example I know of Christ-like humility is my wife, is Betsy. She's the reason that I'm here today, and she constantly gives of herself to me and our children, expecting nothing in return. That is Christ-likeness. I had a beautiful story about James Charlie Mahoney that I will cut short because we need to sing a beautiful worship song. But this man was a doctor back when COVID hit last spring. He was retiring, but he came out of retirement to help the people at his hospital. He caught COVID and he died. The beautiful part of this story is that his sister said early in his career he had multiple opportunities to move to a larger, wealthier hospital, and he didn't go. The hospital he was at was underfunded, a state-run hospital. Hospital served low-income, minority neighborhoods, but he never wanted to leave. He turned down those opportunities so he could help the people who needed it most. So I want us to just close today by taking some time to worship the Lamb, because humility wins. That's what I want you to remember. Humility wins. We see that in Revelation 5, right? Who is Jesus Christ referred to as? The little lamb. The little lamb who breaks the seals and opens the scrolls, right? He's a little lamb, and he's the greatest of all time. He was aggressive for God rather than himself. He modeled self-giving love and humility for the good of others, and he made himself of no reputation for the glory of his Father. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start sing a song to worship him, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So bow with me, please. Dear Father, please deliver us from the frenzy of renown, from trying to make a name for ourselves. Give us contentment and peace in what you've given us to do and where you will take us in the future. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.